Welcome to Happy Hour, the only radio show where you can be guaranteed that when news breaks, something's going to go wrong in studio and we're not going to be able to talk about it. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. I hate technology with a white hot passion of a thousand suns.
Well, anyway, we're back online now. I guess people stormed the Capitol. That was crazy, huh? That was a weird January 6th, huh?
Right? Crazy.
We're right on top of the news.
We really, truly are. It's what we do best around here. That's what I keep telling myself anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So how was your weekend?
It was a weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah. For whatever it's worth. I figured we were going to get right into the DeBrincat stuff right off the jump.
Let's do it. I was going to have a couple formalities, but screw the formalities. Let's dive right in.
Yeah, biggest trade the Wings have undergone in the better part of a decade.
Yeah, DeBrincat's coming over for, and that's all we got, right? There was not another player.
Not that I'm aware of, no. Nope, it's just DeBrincat, but you're giving up Dominic Kubalik. Basically, the picks that you acquired in the Tyler Bertuzzi trade and some dude and some defenseman in Grand Rapids that I've never heard of.
Yeah, Donovan's Sargano or Sabano.
Sabrango, yeah.
Sabaro. Is that pizza place?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, for Dominic Kubalik in a first rounder. Now, we knew this trade, if it was going to happen, that it was going to hurt. There was going to be a little pain involved, but because we were both Dominic Kubalik fans.
Sure, certainly.
And because, I mean, he played really well for us last season. I think he's going to do well in Ottawa. I hope he does. It's that first-round pick that really hurts.
Yeah, but it's the pick we got in the Burt trade, so I'm not really that worried about. That was house money.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's conditional. So I'm assuming it's one of those conditions, like, if he scores 30 goals or more, it's going to be the higher pick.
Actually, no.
No? You already know the conditions?
Yeah. Cool. So this is related to, you remember how when Boston traded for Bertuzzi in the first place?
Yes.
That there was a condition in that where I think the pick was like top 10 protected or something of that sort?
Yeah.
So like they can make it the lower of the two picks, whichever one it is, and if the one gets pushed back, there's something else that comes into play here. And I am pretty certain that means that either you're giving, I think that would get pushed back too. Oh, I have other breaking news that we'll get to here in a little bit.
Sure.
But the initial condition on the first round pick is as follows. The Red Wings will have the option of sending their own 2024 first round pick or Boston's to Ottawa. However, if the Bruins' first round selection is an eventual top 10 pick,
it retains to Boston.
They can instead transfer their 2025 unprotected first-round selection to Detroit. The Red Wings will then have the option of sending that pick or their own first-rounder in 2024 to complete the trade.
Gotcha. Okay.
So they have the option of giving up one of those two picks, no matter where the whether the Boston one falls this year or next.
Right. And I don't see that happening.
And it's going to be obviously the lower of the two, no matter what.
I mean, unless the Bees really just fall right off the earth.
It's going to be their pick, yeah.
Yeah, some, but they're not going to let that happen. They're still thinking that they're cup contenders, and bless their hearts.
Yeah, so basically I think what you're wanting to root for is for Boston to be a top 10 pick, to be a top 10 pick this year and then bottom out next year.
Yeah, right. So I don't know. I'm excited. I'm excited about it.
I am too.
I was kind of hoping to have Kubalik, Suter, and DeBrincat see if Lalonde was going to give them a chance on the line. But obviously that's not going to happen. And it was basically just because, well, they were all Blackhawks. I'm pretty sure DeBrincat will learn how to play with other members of the team.
Oh, he'll be fine. I have a feeling he'll do just fine here. Better than playing for Ottawa, no doubt.
Yeah, he's probably like, thank God.
I was really hoping to be anywhere else but here. I'm good with this. I'm not on that garbage team anymore.
Right.
Although, I mean, they were actually slightly ahead of Detroit in their rebuild, seemingly. Well, at least it looked like it for a little bit last year.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, historically speaking, Ottawa enjoys a little bit of success, and then the next season they just kind of, like, tank it. I mean, they haven't really been competitive since 07 when they went to the finals. They really took that one to heart. They lost in the finals to Anaheim, and they haven't been the same since.
No, they really haven't.
I mean, they got rid of everybody after that. Of Danny Alfredson, he went to Detroit. I mean, you had Stone. He's now rocking things in Vegas. It's been a bad time to be an Ottawa Senators fan, that's for sure.
Is there ever really a good time to be an Ottawa Senators fan?
07, you had to have that glimmer of hope. Fair. I mean, you had a really good team.
You did, yeah.
But, yeah, it's...
Yeah, that's probably the last time.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Big discussion on one of the chat rooms. How you doing? Facebook message posts about what jersey number will he wear? And one guy says, what sweater is he going to wear? And one guy says, probably a smaller medium, because, I mean, the guy's like 5'7", 150 pounds or something like that. So
that's entirely fair.
I thought that was pretty funny.
So I have to ask then.
Yeah.
Does this mean that with this big trade having been consummated here, is it win now time for Detroit? I mean, this seems like the kind of trade you swing when you're finally ready to start contending, to start being on the upside, to start pushing for a playoff berth.
Playoffs. Is it time to say, okay, yes, we're definitely going for the Stanley Cup? No, but you definitely want to be part of the conversation now. You definitely, I mean, how many years has it been since they haven't even sniffed around a wild card spot?
Like seven now?
Seven, yeah. It's time. And obviously... And I'm not even going to say desperation moves, because these are not desperation moves. These are calculated moves by Stevie Y. Trust the Iser plan. And I think they're saying, okay, we've had our time to kind of catch our breath. Now it's time to get back into the playoffs. They're thinking long term, because they were able to sew him up for 4 years at a price cut, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he was wanting, what, $8.5 million, and you got him for $7.8 million. And
well, wasn't
only
he making
years?
$9 million? Wasn't he making $9 million in Ottawa? He was making $9 million, so he took a cut to be here. So that bodes well for his teamwork kind of vibe.
I find it odd that they end up settling on a 4-year deal. Like, I almost would have rather had him for a couple more years.
Oh yeah, but I mean, the Wings probably wanted to sew him up for more, but. You know, DeBrincat also knows his value. He knows his worth.
I thought the argument was term, where the player wanted more and the team didn't.
Really?
That's everything I'd read on this. Whether or not that ends up coming out as having been the case,
you probably got it. Most times, the team wants to sew him up long-term at a lower deal, as opposed to, okay, in 4 years, we're going to have to renegotiate with this cat again.
Yeah.
Cat, no pun intended. So, in a normal situation, that's why you see so many. You used to see a lot of those 15-year deals, 10-year to 12-year deals, and they're getting like $8 million the first couple seasons. Then the last season, they're getting like $400,000 and a cheese pizza.
Isn't that what the Kovalchuk deal was? And that's basically what put an end to that whole thing.
Uh huh. Yeah, they that was really front loaded. I mean, it still hit the cap the same, but yeah. That last season, your paycheck is, you know, let's just say you need to save your money.
Oh, absolutely. I miss those days, because you could get a good player and keep him there pretty well long term and spread that cap hit out a little more than you would have been able to otherwise.
Yeah.
But leave it to the NHL to ruin our fun.
Yeah.
Take away our loophole.
Way to go. Way to go, A-holes.
Way to go, NHL. Thanks, Uncle Gary. Screwing us over like always.
Ultimately, I'm happy with this. I was happy to see this last night.
I mean, the thing is, makes it an A-plus offseason now.
I would think so. You got him. You got JT Compher. Help me out, Sean. I'm drawing a blank on who else we got.
Shane Gostisbehere.
Gostisbehere. We got everybody. I mean, it was just like, okay, get in the truck. We're all going to Detroit.
You really did. It was a hell of a... off season, just all the moves that, like, Stevie was assigning everybody on day one, but this is the one that really brings the whole thing home.
Yeah,
it really suggests to me that this team's ready to start making the playoffs.
I think with the young talent that you have, like in Raymond, Sider, Marco Casper is expected to make the roster this year. So you have enough young talent. You have good seasoned talent. You've trimmed a lot of the fat. I think it is. They've run out of options. They run out of excuses.
Absolute, without doubt. Now let's just see if they can actually take the next step forward, do what needs to be done, and, you know, make a playoff appearance finally.
Whoop.
One can only hope. Well, we got plenty to do today, so do stick around. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative Solid State Radio. The Record Company, your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's Happy Hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And I do have a little bit of breaking news over here.
Break it.
Philip Zadina, he's found a new home already. The San Jose Sharks have signed him to a one-year, $1.1 million contract.
Good. Good, good, good. I never disliked Zadina. I never did. It didn't really pan out well. He wasn't a fan favorite. Having him start off his career so cocky during, like, the initial interview.
Fill your net with pucks.
Yeah. That really kind of...
turned a lot of people off, myself included.
Yeah, really. Even Detroit fans, because, I mean, you can be cocky after you back it up.
Yeah.
So it's...
And he very much was not.
Very much did not. He was a healthy scratch at points, I believe. I know he had some injury issues. But I like the kid. I'm glad to see him pick up somewhere else. It's a two-way deal, but I'm thinking that he is... the writing on the wall is for him. He knows exactly what's going on because he was put on unconditional waivers. Any team could just pluck him up with no problem, with nothing going back to Detroit. I'm sure Stevie loved that idea. But nobody took him. 31 teams all said no.
Well, I think also, wouldn't they have been on the hook for the rest of his contract that 1 year? I think that they would have also had to take on that $4.8 million or whatever it was he was getting paid.
Yeah, okay. So a lot of those, the Sharks were circling the water, so to speak.
Yeah.
Waiting for that contract to end and then took him up on a deal.
I think there was that. I think that kind of played into it somewhat.
Well, I mean, yeah, you're getting a player for $3 million off. That's a bargain basement. It's kind of like back in the day, he's like, okay, I really didn't want to buy that CD when it first came out. Really wasn't really sure. Now it's in the cutout bin for $1.99. All right, whatever. $1.99, I could do it.
Exactly. Like, 1.1 mil is a lot more palatable than however much. You know, $4.8 million or whatever it was he was getting paid otherwise.
And it probably goes down if he gets sent back to, what was it, San Diego? Is that their, no, that's San Diego, that's Anaheim's. Who is their AHL affiliate? The Barracudas, but what?
I think they're also in San Jose.
San Jose Barracudas, okay.
Because they play in the same stadium.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, at one point, weren't they called the Baby Sharks? It was like, how demeaning.
Ha. Do-do-do-do-do. But, But no, like I do kind of have. Good luck to San Jose, and hopefully this works out for all parties involved. But
I do too.
I don't know. Like he's improved defensively. Certainly, he still can't finish worth a damn. Like he can't put the puck on net. Like that's been his problem from the get.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got good hands, but for whatever reason, never been a good finisher.
Well, we wish him all the best. We'll see what happens. Hope he has a great career, unless he's playing Detroit.
Exactly. In that case, I hope we fill your new team's net with pucks. Here's Blurred Solid State Radio. Bleachers at your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is Happy Hour. And I feel like I need to address the people here about something.
Yeah.
Something that is, you know, certainly pertinent to the Wings signing, well, the trade that happened today for Alex DeBrincat. There is a way too large of a number of people out there who are calling for the Wings to do something that I think is questionable at best.
Okay.
In conjunction with this trade. Do you know, Adam, there are people out there who think that the Red Wings need to go bring in Patrick Kane?
A lot of those people still think it's 2010.
Clearly. Like, this isn't 2010. It's not even 2016 when he was putting up 46 goals in a season. Like, Chicago traded him for a reason last year. He went on to score 5 goals the rest of the way with the Rangers. Okay, 21 goals last year is certainly nothing to sneeze at, but he's 34 years old. Like,
Well, I've seen a lot of talented 34-year-olds. I don't want to make it sound like 34 in hockey is, like, really old, but it's getting there. But the fact that, I mean, well, Blackhawks traded him because I think he basically said, listen, I'm not re-signing with you. trade me, get some benefits from me, and, you know, turn me loose. And so he went over to the Rangers. But the Rangers, he didn't really, like, light it up.
No, not really. Like, and I think he's definitely on the backside of his career. Like, he was getting all those opportunities in Chicago because they traded away so much else at that point.
He was maybe a little love for the game was taken out of him a little bit. But then he goes to
New York,
a big market, the one of the biggest markets. He should have been able to excel a little bit, but it didn't happen. For the right price, maybe, because, I mean, you do have that veteran presence. But I'm not. I wouldn't break the bank.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't. I don't know. I mean, would I like to see it? Sure. But realistically,
he just had hip surgery too. For what it's worth.
So his hip's good now.
I don't know if that's quite how that's going to end up working.
Well, like, I'd rather have him say, "Well, he just had hip surgery. He's at 100%." As opposed to, "Oh, he's going to be signing with us for a year. He needs hip surgery."
I mean, fair, but it still doesn't. I'm not sure I necessarily want to take that chance. I mean, he was kind of slow with the Rangers last year.
Yeah.
You're looking to, you know, up the speed on this team, not, you know, reduce it.
Yes.
And he was not doing well at New York. Like, I don't think this is something that needs to happen.
Well, how much was that accredited to his hip?
That I don't know. Probably enough, but
okay, well, let's just say 2 years at $3.5 million.
Oh, they're saying he's supposed to be out for 4 to 6 months.
So he's not even be back until October, November.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see it being worth it. Like, is he really going to want to come here regardless just because DeBrincat? I don't think so.
No. I don't think there's anything like that. It would have to be he's looking for a job. And we'd have to be one of the only ones offering it. Because, I mean, if he had the option to come here, and Dallas is also knocking on his door, he's going to Dallas.
Honestly, I see that as more of a legitimate possibility, really.
I don't know what their payroll looks like, but, I mean, I know Detroit would be able to afford him to a certain extent.
I mean, we're talking this guy ain't going to be available until January. How much money are you really putting out for him? Like, he's probably going to want to get paid more than what you're going to want to offer him, and quite frankly, this stage of his career, more than he's worth.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're only getting a half of a contract from him. So, I don't know. Would I like to see it? Yes. Yes. Emphatically, yes. But, I mean, I'm also a realist where if it doesn't happen, fine. You know, I want to see him keep playing because I liked old 20 Cent.
I mean, kinda, not really. I don't have that much love lost for him. But I mean, the same probably would have been said by a lot of people about Chris Chelios before he came here, so who knows?
Well, yeah.
Chelios also ended up playing until he was like 60, so.
Yeah.
I don't think this guy's making it to 40.
Well, there's a reason why Chelios was always talked about his age because it didn't happen that often. Here he was 46 years old, still playing at a competitive level. I mean, he was when Stanley Cups at like 44.
Exactly.
I mean, usually it was a healthy scratch, but you know, you get my point.
Well, at least when he was playing with the, you know, under Mike Babcock, he was. But yeah. That's I think a little bit more to do with his the level of spite on that man than anything.
Yeah. Oh, I heard the presser from Mike Babcock on NHL Network, and they were asking him about things. And you know, they were tiptoeing around. They really wanted to ask questions about all the allegations coming out of him, psychological abuse in Toronto. And he just kept, I'm having a good time hanging out with my family. I'm like being able to just hang out with my family. But now my kids are all grown. And he's making it sound like it was his decision.
I know. That is kind of odd. I can't believe that they let him get away with that, quite frankly. Like,
Babs, what is this about you always benching players when they're going to their home? Oh, I'm a family man. I'm a family. Look, I'm daddy. Is it true that you made Mitch Marner make a list of all the team members in order of their dedication to the team? Oh, I'm a family man. I'm family. See, look, wife. Woo. Look at my wife. Look at my kids. Look at our dog. Come here, Scrappy. Come here, Scrappy. You piece of crap, I'm benching you. Come here, Scrappy.
He's the guy who would bench his own kid.
So You and your siblings, which one do you think is the worst? Go ahead and rank them. Which one of all your mom's dishes, which is your least favorite? I won't tell her. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, there's no way. Like, in any other market, and maybe that's why he went to Columbus, because he knows that they're just, oh my God, we actually have a professional sports team here. We're not going to do anything to upset that. They know that he's not going to get any tough questions because
yeah.
It's not like a Toronto. Like, you know, if he shows up in, like, New York or something,
oh, yeah.
That's the first thing they're going to ask him about. All right, so rank all your players on your current on your new team. We promise we won't tell them.
Yeah. It's like 20 microphones are up to his face.
Right.
No, it stays right here, Babs. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Columbus. They're the only ones to call. And, like, Mike, a Columbus Blue – I'm sorry, what's that? Blue Jackets are on the phone? Oh, Jesus. Oh, just tell them, put them on hold. Oh, what do I do? What do I do? Don't look too anxious, honey. I'll take the job. I mean, hello? I'm sorry. I'm just organizing all my McGill ties. Here, hang on a second.
Not going to lie to you. I rather hope. I feel bad saying this, except not really. I kind of hope he fails in the new gig. And honestly, he's coaching for Columbus, so he probably will.
Probably. I mean, they've had their run of coaches. And Ken Hitchcock, I mean, they had a true Stanley Cup winner there. And, I mean, Babcock's got a Stanley Cup on his ring, too, on his finger, too. But then, you know, they had John Tortorella.
Oh, Tortorella.
Did Andy Murray coach for them for a hot minute?
No. They had Gerard Gallant for a minute.
Gerard Gallant, yeah.
Of course, Torts, Todd Richards. Wasn't he a... No, I'm thinking somebody else was assistant in one...
Todd Nelson. You're thinking
yeah,
Todd Nelson.
Yeah, I am thinking Todd Nelson. You're right. Yeah, Hitchcock got a whole 2.5 years there. Same with Gerard Gallant. Go figure.
Well, hopefully... I mean, fine, whatever. I mean... It's kind of a – I mean, if there's ever another team that in the NHL that you got to look at and say, okay, you've been given all this opportunity. It's time to show up. Columbus is definitely on that list.
Oh, absolutely.
Made the playoffs like once, and they got swept in 09 by who? Oh, that's right, the Red Wings. But anyway.
Right. Well, they literally never made it – you know, win a game in the playoffs basically until Torts came around.
Yeah.
And then they made the playoffs for the 5 years he was there, and that just wasn't good enough.
They did make the playoffs for it? Oh, wow.
Yeah, they made four of the 5 years he was here, his first four seasons there. Lost in the first, lost in the second, lost in the first again.
Wow, I didn't realize that. I thought they only made the playoffs once, I swear.
I'm as shocked as you are, man, because like, I thought that too.
It must have been after they juggled up all the divisions, and Columbus was no longer in our division that I just... decided not to care.
Well, that's fair. I, in all fairness, did we care that much about them before that?
No, not really. I think it is funny that a Michigan kid's going to play in Columbus. Suck it, Ohio State.
Well, I mean, he's not the first, because didn't they have Jack Johnson there for a while?
Yes, they did.
And he was a Michigan boy.
I think that's funny, too. How many Buckeyes you got on your team? Oh, yeah. Oh, really? That's a shame.
Oh, you know, you hear all about the great talent coming out of Ohio State's hockey program. Like,
man, this ice is slippery. Man, that puck's going fast. I want to go back to football.
Well, I mean, we're talking about a state that has to constantly remind itself how to spell its own name. So, I mean, you kind of take what you can get there. Here's Imagine Dragons at Solid State Radio. Wallflowers are your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It's happy hour. And I tell you, beautiful day today. Sun's shining. It's all good and warm and stuff out there.
It's beautiful out.
Not actually raining. The Wings just made the most significant trade they've made in the better part of a decade, maybe a decade
yes.
and a half.
Yes.
And it's the All-Star break, so I don't have to think about the Tigers for the next, like, 4 days.
Oh, come on. I'm surprised you didn't lead off with their no-hitter, combined no-hitter.
Well, because, okay, great, combined no-hitter. I mean, that's awesome. Good on them. But you know what? I miss the days where a guy would go out there and get a no-hitter on his own.
Yep.
None of this we got to go with the bullpen the fifth inning nonsense.
Right.
That was a good old days, Adam. And, God, I sound more like a crotchety old man every day when it comes to this team.
Yeah, you know, when you said that, I did see Jim Leland in my head. But yeah, I mean, yeah, the old managers would leave that pitcher in there and say, "Keep it going, don't take that away from that kid."
No, absolutely. Like, why would you? I mean, again, great that they managed to do it, but granted, it was Matt Manning who was just coming back from a long-term injury, so I get why it had to happen. But man, I just really wanted to see him go all the way on this. He did go 6 2/3 of the thing. Jason Foley and Alex Lang with an inning and a third and an inning of work, respectively, to close this thing out.
It was a low-scoring game, if I remember correctly.
Yes, well, when you give up no hits, it's kind of hard to score, as it turns out.
Well, I mean, how many runs did the Tigers score?
It's two.
Two. Okay, so that's now it makes a little sense why they made that change in the fifth, but it's, you know, you still, some of the old guard would be like, all right, stay in there, kid. Get that zero.
Like, Manning wasn't even to 100 pitches yet. We can't let him get out of the inning? Really?
Yeah.
That seemed a bit much. Again, granted, coming off of injury, having, well, it's his third start back, and he pitched a couple back in April. He was only gone for two and a half months. This is his third start back. I feel like we could have let him go a little longer. You mean you let him throw 96 in his last start?
Yeah.
Come on. Let him finish the seventh inning.
Yeah.
I mean, good on him. It's a damn shame they couldn't take more than one game from Toronto, though. So currently you find yourselves 11 games under 500.
Yikes.
11. 5.5 out of the division that Cleveland has now overtaken Minnesota in. I mean, you're not in this. We all know you're not really in this, but you're 5.5 games out and you're 11 games under. How do you even stay that competitive in this division? You're 10 games out of a wild card now, but you're not moving past, you know, Houston, Toronto, the Yankees, Boston to take that away from any of them. Like, that just ain't happening. But good on them.
Yeah, I mean, the whole division is just going to be
It's garbage.
Fodder for the first round of the playoffs.
They really are. Like, Cleveland has finally made it up to we have a team that's no longer has a losing record in the AL Comedy Central. Yay!
Oh, yay.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Right, I have no idea. It's
they
got to do something. I mean, we got the Lions on the way up, Red Wings on the way up, Pistons, Tigers. Pay attention.
Looking at you. Get to doing something. Get to
poke them with a stick. Come on, do something.
That's kind of what I feel like a lot of the time with this team, man. It's bad. It really is. It's happy hour at Solid State Radio. Stick around. There's Beck in Phoenix, your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? It is happy hour. He's Adam Hairhuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. And I think we've kind of now picked up the mantle on this station of doing the Am I the A-hole things. Because open for discussion wasn't on Sunday, so I don't feel quite so bad about stealing the bit.
Yeah, there you go.
And I got a couple doozies over here. I think we could use your advice giving or your judgment skills, put our judgment skills to good use here.
Okay.
Would I be the a-hole if I go on vacation instead of going to my brother's wedding?
Why is it always weddings? Why does weddings have such a problem with people? Jesus.
Because, like, for most people, weddings just seem to be an issue in some capacity. I mean, ours accepted because, you know, we did it deliberately to be as non-traditional basically as possible. And, you know, we basically just threw a big old party that wasn't, like, super formal.
If more weddings were like that, it would be a non-factor. The people are, oh, it's a party? Okay, I'll make it. But it's the stuffiness and all the pomp and circumstance about it. The cost to everybody, not just the couple.
Right.
It's a lot of that. So the writer wants to go on vacation, but it's the same day as her brother's wedding.
Basically.
Okay.
My brother Tom, 36-year-old male, and I, 26-year-old female, have never had a really solid relationship due to our age gap. We didn't spend much time together. By the time I was old enough to develop a personality, he was moved out of the house. For the last 2 years, my brother and his fiancée have been planning their wedding, and it's coming up in September. I was asked to be a bridesmaid. I figure I was only asked as a courtesy since I'm her soon-to-be sister-in-law, but I still took it seriously. Just a few weeks ago, I managed to save up to buy the $800 bridesmaid dress. overall in the last 2 years between parties, dinners, lunches.
$800 for a bridesmaid's dress. That's one of the reasons why weddings are bourgeois.
Right. Well, I know people who are trying to spend $800 for a wedding, for a dress for a wedding they're going to be in, despite the fact they've been told that they don't have to do that.
Yeah, right.
Some people are weird like that. Yeah. But in this case, it sounds like that's kind of what they wanted, the bride and groom did. Eventually, all the girls in the wedding became close, and I started to get hyped for the wedding. Sarah recently got close with her brother's wife, Becky. Last week, she dropped the ball on me that she no longer wants me to be a bridesmaid and would prefer if Becky would take my place. It broke my heart a little, but it's her wedding. It's not my place to tell her how to run it, so I said it was fine. Yesterday, I went to my brother's house to pick up the bridesmaid's dress and was going to see if I could return it since it was within the time frame. Sarah was completely appalled and said that Becky was going to wear it since she and I are the same size. I said that'd be fine, but they're going to have to pay me the $800 for it. Sarah said Becky couldn't afford it and I should just be nice and let her use it and said I could keep it after the wedding. I explained I'm not just giving away the dress, and I'm not even going to use it after the wedding. After some bickering back and forth, I ended up just taking it and leaving. My brother and Sarah tried to compromise, say I could be the assistant flower girl, and I felt offended at the offer. They then said Becky could give me $250 for it. Again, I said no and returned the dress and got a full refund. I told them I understand it's their wedding, but they're being extremely disrespectful to me, and I don't need to deal with it, so I'm not going to the wedding. Today, my coworker says she has an extra round-trip plane ticket to go to Miami that she'll sell to me for half price. Plus, I would have to pay for half the hotel and could go hang out with her in Florida. The only downside is I'll be in Florida for the week of my brother's wedding. Will I be the a-hole if I just go party in Miami instead of going to my brother's wedding?
Absolutely not. Miami bound. Go. Because at first, I was like, oh, man, you can't really plan a trip around somebody's wedding. I mean, that's kind of a BS move. But now that I hear the factors around it, made to pay an $800 charge for a dress, mm-hmm. That right there pisses me off. And then basically said, okay, you're not a bridesmaid now. Well, we're going to put you as a junior flower girl, the assistant to the flower girl.
Who's probably like an actual kid.
7 years old. What is she going to do? Just walk behind her and just say things like, listen, bitch.
I think
you
she's
trip
now,
up, if you trip up, I'm the number one flower girl around
I
here.
I think she's probably going to be expected to be the babysitter, basically.
Probably.
And that sounds like hell on earth.
Yeah. And then just to assume, not to ask, just to assume that she's going to front the bill for this dress for somebody else who took her job.
Yeah, I mean, just give the dress to this person that we're kicking you out of the wedding
she
for.
She can't afford it. I'm family. You brought me on because I'm family. You made me pay this 800 bones to do this, and now you're just going to, because what? Because I'm selfish? Well, wait a minute. It's your wedding. You front the money.
Right?
Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah, definitely go to Miami. I wouldn't go to the wedding because then you're not going to have a good time. You're just going to be like, look at these people. Didn't want me to be in here. Wanted me to be a junior flower girl. Not even the flower girl. Like, God.
Like, just get booted out of the wedding already. It's like, that's bad enough. Like, and then to try and insult you, you can be the assistant flower girl.
It's obvious that they don't respect her.
Right.
And they don't care about her feelings. To hell with them. Go to Florida. Have a great time. Stay away from the bath salts.
No, absolutely stay away from the bath salts. No good comes from that.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Miami doesn't seem like a good vacation destination, but that's okay. But that's just me.
I mean, if you're into the beach and all that stuff,
for the price of the dress, you could be splitting that hotel with your friend and just have a great time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and now you've got this extra $800 that you didn't have before. So now you're golden. See, you're coming out ahead, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there is no way in hell. Like, they clearly don't. Like, even if you didn't have something better to do now that weekend, I still would say you're well within your rights to not go to the wedding. Like, that's just blatant disrespect.
Yeah, no way around that.
And even to double down on it, be like, hey, no, yeah, you know how you bought that dress for the wedding? Yeah, you need to give it to the person who's replacing you. Go F yourself. That's probably the last time we ever talk.
And it sounds like they didn't even want to have that conversation. It was just like assumed, oh, well, she's got the dress. Oh, it fits her. She's just going to go ahead and I hate it when people just assume, oh, yeah, well, we made the decision for you. She's just going to go ahead and wear it. No. She can pay me for it. No, well, that's rude. She can't afford it. Well, who's to say that I could really afford it? I just pulled together $800 to be there at my brother's wedding, but now I've been, you know, relegated to the flower girl department. That's, no, not to hell with all that.
Yeah, it almost makes me wonder, like, if this wasn't already in the plans, like, I think they know that she's the same size because she already tried on that dress. Like, I feel like this was calculated to have her, they were using her to buy a dress and then always planned on giving her the boot.
Oh, yeah, that would be, God, that would be terrible. Screw them.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. Let's do another one real quick. Another wedding one at that. Am I the a-hole for telling my fiance my daughter has to be in our wedding?
I love how you do the old Uthi thing.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the thing and then make me really sell on one side to realize I was completely wrong. So
I know.
Man and woman getting married. She wants her daughter in the wedding.
Yep.
So far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a joining of the two families, and he should be, you know, wanting the kids to be kids, plural, to be involved in the nuptials.
Basically. So, I, 45-year-old male, have a daughter from a previous relationship. I divorced my ex-wife on good terms. We share 50-50 custody of her. She is now 11. After I divorced my ex-wife, I met my now fiancé. Her and my daughter get along very well. After 5 years of my relationship, I proposed. She was super excited, wanted to start planning right away. She looked at venues and started asking her friends to be bridesmaids. She then told me she wanted her niece to be a flower girl, which I had no problem with, but I said I also wanted my daughter to be a flower girl. She looked at me funny and said she didn't think she would fit the part. I got angry and told her my daughter would be in our wedding. She started to become upset and said the girls in the wedding were up to her and she wouldn't be one of them. I told her if my daughter's not in the wedding, there might not be a wedding. I stormed out and took her to get ice cream. The daughter knows we're getting married. She told me she thinks she'll look pretty in whatever dress she decides she should wear. This broke my heart, and I decided to text the fiancé. I told her I'd be singing to friends to think this over. My mother-in-law texted me saying, I'm overreacting. My daughter doesn't have to be in my wedding, and I was an ass for saying I'd cancel. Did I take it too far saying I will cancel? Am I overreacting or just being a good dad?
I think you're being a good dad because... Yeah, they just think it's just a spot in the wedding. It's just this. And no, it's the first step in your new marriage together. And I'm sorry, you marry somebody, you're also, you're not marrying the kids. I don't want to sound like creepy. But yeah, I mean, the kids are involved. She should relish the idea of having the daughter involved in one way or another.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Say, well, she doesn't fit the part. What part... Well, you know, she's going to be your stepdaughter, so she better fit that part. You better figure something out quick. And then for the in-laws to... you're being an ass. Well, your daughter's being... I just think it's... Sorry. I don't know. What's your take on it?
I say she's being a total bitch.
Yeah.
Like...
The daughter, the 11-year-old daughter, sit down, bitch.
No, the fiance here is being completely and utterly unreasonable. Like, you want your niece needs to be a flower girl, but your soon to be basically your stepdaughter doesn't fit the part.
Doesn't fit the part. What are you casting Macbeth?
Right? Like, yeah, you're marrying a dude who has a kid. Like you're marrying a father, so therefore you're marrying the kid too. That's kind of how this works. Uh-huh. Like, look, you know my thoughts about kids. I mean, if I were single again, I'm not dating a woman with kids. But if I am seeing somebody who like I love enough that you know I'm willing to be okay with that, like you have to accept that that's part of his life. That's to him, the most important part of his life.
Right. Oh, I'd be willing to bet you that, it doesn't say in the letter, but I'd be willing to bet you that, you know, she says, I'm in charge of the women, and so does that mean he's in charge of the guys? No, it's probably her, you know, sociopathic cousin, Reggie's got to be in the as a grooms or something, groomsman or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she's going to dictate who's going to be on his side, yeah. Too.
Nope. That's a big red flag right there.
Huge, like all of the red flags. Oh my god, oh my god! There's an update on this.
Yeah,
yeah. I apparently in the comments there is an update, and so he goes home to talk to his fiance. When I pulled in our driveway, my mother-in-law was sitting there in her car. I got out, went inside, trying to avoid talking to said mother-in-law. Fiance is sitting at the kitchen table, and I joined her. She sat in silence, so I asked the first question, why does my daughter not fit the part? Why don't you want her in the wedding at all? Her answer, she quietly said, I was hoping after the wedding you could become a holiday visit-only dad. I didn't want her in the wedding so she wouldn't be in the photos around the house since she wasn't going to be around much.
Red flag! Red flag!
Holy crap, dude.
Holiday daughter. Who does that?
Well, I can think of a few people, but they're not people who clearly care about the spawn they brought into the world.
Right.
Wow.
Nope.
I kept my cool, calmly took her hand, pulled my engagement ring off of it. She said, we shouldn't end the marriage over this, and she can change. I told her the damage was already done. I want her things moved out by next week. She could come get them when my daughter wasn't home. The house is in my name, and I paid for what it's worth.
Good for him.
Like, she wanted to literally wanted you to give up custody of your kid.
Yep.
For her.
Yep.
Again, I hate kids. We've established this over many, many times over the years.
Yeah.
That's a low move.
Yeah.
That's a garbage thing to do.
Yep. Yep. I never really wish somebody to be, you know, trying to sleep in a dumpster at night, looking for food, you know, at all hours of the night, but I kind of hope she is.
Yeah. You, congratulations, fella. You went and dodged the bullet of an effing lifetime.
Holy Christ. I mean, you know, and
this sounds like some old Disney movie where you're like the evil stepmother who's like a literal witch or something.
Yeah. I'm going to send you off to boarding school. You'll learn to be a fine young lady, but just not around me and my husband. And I'll be gone with you.
That's insane.
Yeah, that is terrible. God, yeah, he dodged a bullet there, didn't he?
There are really people this awful in the world. Like, that's... I am stunned, man. Like, that's not the plot twist I saw coming. That's for damn
sure. I
mean,
I'm a little surprised. I mean, okay, sidebar.
Uh-huh.
Do you consider the ex-fiancé to be, she came forward and said she laid her cards out on the table. This is what I expected and everything. This is what I was kind of hoping for. This is the reason. Do you give her at least a check mark for being completely honest, or do you still think she's a heinous bitch? Or C, all of the above.
Well, to your point there, and refer to her as, you know, to your shirt today there, that she's just a total bitch. Like, no, you don't get credit for that because you should have known damn well that going into a relationship with a guy who had a kid, that he wasn't just going to, like, oh, I thought you were just going to be a total deadbeat father and completely abandon your daughter. No, you don't get credit for that. You should have had the common sense not to marry somebody like that.
Right, right.
And, like, you should have not accepted the proposal if you seriously had that much of an issue with the kid thing.
Right.
No credit given. I award you no points. May God have mercy on your soul. Here's Pearl Jam, Solid State Radio. Oasis on Happy Hour, your local alternative Solid State Radio. What's going on? He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell.
How's everybody doing? Good to see you. Good. How's everybody? So a couple weeks, we're thinking about, well, not we're thinking, but we're going to Emily City again.
Yes, we are. Eastern Michigan Fair.
Broadcasting from, what is that building called? I was trying to explain to my band, Frame 42, who's going to be there on that Friday. Try to explain what that building's called.
It's the
pole barn.
It's the merchant building, basically.
Merchant building, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. That's officially what it says on the website.
Okay.
So the big blue building right behind the grandstands.
There you go. Okay.
It'd be a good time all the way around. Yeah. God, I wonder what event's going on Friday. Like, are we going to be able to even hear bands over the...
Oh. L.A. Lady got to get...
Is that, God, I hope that's not the night of the...
bump and run.
Right. With our luck, it probably would be. It'd be hilarious, honestly.
Well, we got the headsets now, so we've been able to hear each other somewhat. But
right.
Last time we were just doing it with headphones and...
Friday is the bump and run.
Son of a bitch.
Damn it.
Wah, wah.
And that's going to be fun because that's going to be a late night, too. That's a 7 o'clock show because, well, we're going to be live on Happy Hour on WMIC from the fair.
Okay.
You might want to let them know that, too.
I will do that. Okay.
Yeah. So it's going to be a fun week. Like, every night there's something. So Tuesday night's a bull rodeo. Wednesday's a monster trucks. Figure eight trailer racing on the trailer races are always fun on Thursday.
Is it bad when it's like the bull riding and stuff like that? I root for the bulls.
No, because I totally do too.
What I love about that is the beer tent that they've got going on. They got the best beer tent I've ever been to because it's like a permanent structure. It's right by the grandstand. You can see everything.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
They've got a really cool setup. And then Saturday night, the Demolition Derby. That's going to be fun.
I love a good demolition derby. I might have to take the kids out there.
There you go.
Joey would hate it. We took him to the fireworks, and he was just over in Frankenmuth.
Yeah.
And it was so weird because we parked over at Bronner's, the 365, 7 days a week Christmas store.
Yeah.
Well, they're not 365. They're actually closed on Christmas. But we parked right by the Silent Night Chapel, a chapel, and the whole area is dedicated to the Christmas Carol Silent Night. So it is pumped through the speakers in all different languages. So we're watching 4th of July fireworks, like silent, pow, 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 pow.
Right.
Holy. it was very surreal.
It sounds like it, but it'll be a good time for all parties involved. We'll be out there all week long, really.
Yep, it's going to be a good time. Tuesday through Friday, I believe.
July 25th through 29th. So Tuesday through Saturday is the event in its entirety. Tuesday through Friday will be out there. And then I don't know what we're doing for Saturday. We'll burn that bridge when we get to it, damn it.
Yep.
It's Happy Hour. It's Solid State Radio. It's Happy Hour at Solid State Radio as we get set to get the hell out of Dodge this afternoon and turn things over to a full hour of local original music or something of that sort.
Yay!
Solid State Sessions is up next. All the Michigan-made music you can possibly handle and then some. All being well, we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon at 3. See ya!